Amen. Happy Wednesday. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. Kelly Daniels is a... Got it? Few people who know you today. Kelly is currently a senior who will be graduating this coming December. Her major is biomechanical engineering, correct? Wow. For all you engineers, way to go. I never could have done it. So, hey, Kelly's going to read our scripture today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. If you want to look it up in your pew Bible, great. If not, listen to the word of God.
Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecutions, and in pressures. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Weakness. Our culture hates weakness, doesn't it? It seems that our culture distances itself from anything or anyone that is identified as weak, right? Our culture is performance-driven. I can do anything. And if you don't line up with that, you are considered weak and you're not of much use. It's unacceptable, it seems like, to be weak in our culture today. Yet in our text that Kelly just read from 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul uses the word weakness four times, which anytime you got to know when you're reading scripture that when a word is repeated in close proximity with each other, it's trying to catch our attention. And what Paul is saying in this text, or is trying to communicate to us, really is that one who accepts and acknowledges one weakness opens the possibility, the door, to a closer and deeper relationship, not only with other people, but with God himself. So what do you think about that, this weakness stuff? What is weakness, and how has that played out in your life?
I resonate a lot with weakness. So I am very performance-driven. I grew up where I could do anything, whether that was athletics or academics or music or leadership. I had all these people that invested in me and taught me and believed in me. I ended up going to West Point, the United States Military Academy. That's a very performance-driven place.
Yeah.
Your metric daily is how you perform. And in that environment, it's the military, so it's praised to shut off emotion and just to show whatever is needed in that moment. However, as much as I loved West Point and as much as that was an incredible experience, I got one head injury, and then I got a second head injury, and then I got a third, then I got a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Around eight, I couldn't function. And that led to a time where I had to take 6 months off of school, and I was a patient at Walter Reed National Medical Military Facility in D.C., and they studied me, and they tried to make my brain function again. Ultimately, when you're pursuing something where you're trying to become a commissioned officer, if you're going to go unconscious when something detonates, you can't really be an officer. So that led to decisions where everything I wanted and everything I was working towards was changed. So I really resonate with weakness, because at the end of that time, I had to make a decision that my health, if I didn't take care of it, I wasn't going to be able to do the career, the education that I was pursuing. So I came to Hope.
So you come to Hope 2 years ago. And I remember meeting you at LJ's Coffee. And like I do a lot of people here. We meet. And there's a lot of hurt, a lot of bitterness, a lot of confusion, a lot of why questions going on in your life. And so what happened? Take us to Hope College 2 years ago, and what happened?
Well, but I can do anything attitude continued. People who did the poll with me probably know that.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard to be honest. It really is, because sometimes honest is sad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes honest is anger. And sometimes that roots is bitterness. And ultimately, what kind of brought me to the end of my weakness was I went unconscious playing tennis. Mm. I ended up in a trauma ICU. I had my license taken away. And at that point, I had to ask for help. So those pool teammates, they were like, does anyone around us have a physical, tangible needs? And for the first time, I had to be like, I can't drive, but I have a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people started stepping in my life, people of grace. People started stepping into what was hard, and they gave me the grace to be honest.
Which was new for you, because again, you were so conditioned, so trained to not show your emotions, to not show your weakness, to not show your limitations. And so in many ways, you were pushing people away. Yeah. But when you began to open up and ask for help, you saw something change. I mean, people willing to drive you to Ann Arbor because you couldn't drive anymore, to help you with certain things because you couldn't do them anymore. And so what did that begin to do in your heart that was cold and bitter and pissed off? I love saying that in chapel, pissed off. And what did that begin to do to Kelly?
So it's really easy, and it's completely justifiable to hide what's invisibly hard. Mm-hmm. But in those moments when, like, Abby Tung drove out to U of M with Google Maps pasted on the front of my car because she had never driven there before.
Directionally challenged. Yep. Okay.
We entered into an adventure together that was real and honest.
Yeah.
She saw me in a moment where, like, I hadn't been because sometimes I was throwing up after testing. Hmm. And we both realized that sometimes it's hard to receive love because sometimes it's hard to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's so good too, because then people can see what your needs are. They can see the things that are on the surface, and they can see the things that are beneath the surface. And the thing about a brain injury is I began to hate the brain injury. Mm-hmm. I was no longer the person I was born. Like, mm-hmm. my brain did not function the same. Mm-hmm. So waking up in the morning to a person you never wanted to become mm-hmm. is hard.
Mm-hmm. But it's also what I've seen, chaplains carrying tissues in their pocket all the time. But what I'm seeing in you, Kelly, is something I didn't see 2 years ago when I met you. Because I met a really shell of a person who didn't show emotions, who kept everyone at a distance, and never showed the soft part of Kelly. And so what you're doing right now is you are more human who God created you to be than ever before, which is awesome. So what else has God been teaching you? I mean, the emotions you're feeling again, your willingness to ask for help, to be vulnerable, seeing that not as a weakness but as a strength. What else is God teaching you? And we got 2 minutes. So what else is he teaching you?
So when you're honest, it gives you the opportunity to partner. Because when you hide what's invisibly hard, you're losing the opportunity to see the insights of others that can look on your situation in a way you never could.
Hmm.
And then together, you may be able to figure out creative solutions that can help you protect. In the case of me, it was protection because it's my brain, but can help me do things that I could have never dreamed of doing.
Yeah.
And the vision is so much more expanded, and there's a hope. Because what happens when things are hard is it's tempting to isolate.
Yep.
And isolation is really easy to become angry, and it's really easy to become bitter, and it's really easy for all of those things to get stuck. But when you're honest, you no longer have to be isolated. You can partner.
Hmm.
And when you partner, things can become something that you never thought would develop that way, like me sitting on stage with you right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been talking a lot about partnering. But talk about one last piece, and this is a great closer. So you said to me, you know, I mean, you were a follower of Jesus, way back in high school, but something changed over these last couple years. You said, I knew God, but what's changed in
so
your relationship?
I always knew God was good. However, when I changed, it was hard for me to receive God's love and for him to look at me.
As good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was that change?
So it was looking at, I am broken, and I need his love, and I need his grace, and his grace is sufficient in weakness.
That's awesome.
By grace-filled people.
That's awesome. So with that, so with that great line from Scripture, pray us out today.
Okay. Lord, thank you so much that you are good.
Amen.
Thank you that you are big and all-knowing, because if you were small, we could hide all these things. And thanks that you are loving, and you can enter into these places with tenderness and compassion. God, I pray for hearts that are hard. I pray that they would be softened. I pray for hearts that are angry. I pray that they would be able to surrender that, because you have so much more. And I pray for hearts that may be in a performance-driven, controlled place, because God, you're God, and you have so much you want to do with our lives, even when it's not what we want and not what we see. So I thank you for who you are, and I thank you that we are yours. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.